We have an opportunity to learn tonight. How many ready to learn? Okay. I'm just asking, how many came in and you're already perfect? Go ahead, raise your hand. Praise God, nobody raised their hands, okay? Okay. So how many would say I've got an opportunity to grow tonight? Okay. But listen, you can only have that opportunity to grow if you're willing to examine yourself. If you're willing to say, you know what, if you're willing to allow the word to, if you're willing to say, man, there's something that I need to change today. There's something that I need to hear. There's something that God wants me to hear. How many believe that God wants you to hear something today? How many believe that God has you here tonight that you could learn something, watch this, and change? Look at your neighbor and say, you got to change. Now, some of you were very adamant about that. Right? Okay. But how many can we say it with the same kind of intensity if we say it like this? If I ask you to say this, I need to change. Are you catching that? You know what I mean? But the reality is, and here's the thing, and here's the beautiful thing, and here's the reality. Nobody can change it but you. The sin that Jesus was most grieved with was the sin of, do you know what it was? Wasn't lust. You know what? Wasn't drunkenness, wasn't prostitution. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. You know what? He told the drunkards, you better stop drinking or you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He told the prostitutes, hey, you're better than that. You need to stop doing all that sex stuff all the time. See, these are sins that will harm you. But the sin that he got most upset about was the sin of self-righteousness. So we need to come into this place today saying, God, help me to change. Help me to see. How many have a blind spot? Raise your hand if you have a blind spot. You know the problem with your blind spot is, right? How many know the problem with your blind spot? It's hard to see. Amen. Here, let's pray this. Pray this with me. God, help me to see my blind spot tonight. In Jesus' name. The Lord will help you to see it. And he'll help you to change it. And it'll help you to change it if you have a willingness to change. All right, praise God, and that's all for free. If you're opening up your Bibles, you should know your Bibles ought to fall just right open now to Nehemiah. We're Nehemiah part 7. And you said it seems longer than that. Well, because we spent 3 weeks on part 1. But this is part 7. How many of you are learning some stuff from the book of Nehemiah? It's been a wonderful study. I want to talk to you today about living a changed life. Living a changed life. A changed life. What I mean by that is that we would live our lives that would be changed and that would stay changed. How many know we can do something for 3 weeks? The trick is to have sustained change. That becomes who you are. How many have someone that you can think about and they're just somebody of character, they're just consistent, and you can count on them? How many have somebody like that? You're just, man, they're just rock solid, okay? And that's what I want to be to somebody else. That's what I want to develop, that somebody would look at my life and say, man, that guy is someone that you can count on. That guy is consistent. He's not like up here on Monday and down here on Wednesday and then back up here on Friday. No, he's somebody consistent. He lives a life. And there's, watch this, listen to me. And there's even a consistent inconsistency in him. That what's inconsistent is he's always moving to look more like Jesus. So, yeah, he was there 3 months ago, but now he's up there. And 3 months from now, I know he's going to be at another place. And that's how I want to be. So there's this constant growth. Please understand this. Please, you're talking about not seeing something. If you think you are, I'll say it like this. In the kingdom of God, there is no neutral. You're either gathering, the Bible says, or scattering. You're either for me or you're against me. You're either growing in the things of God or you're decreasing in the things of God. So listen to me. If you think, no, I'm doing good, I'm not getting any worse, can I tell you what? How many know? Let me finish that statement. You are decreasing. You're just deceived. You just don't know you're decreasing. Because in the kingdom, there is no neutral. There's no staying. You can't stay in a place. So how many know you can be on a raft and you're closing your eyes and you're thinking you're just in one place, but you're really floating backwards? Hello? How many know we can be self-deceived? And we've got to be mindful to say, no, no, no. What I want to do is I recognize I can't stay the same. So I have to watch this. I have to proactively, everybody say proactively. There is no neutral in the kingdom of God. There's no automatic in the kingdom of God. It is a stick shift. You've got to put it in first gear. If somebody's going to put it in second gear, it's not going to be God. God will encourage you. God will show you where that gear is. God will prompt you. God will instruct you. God will do everything he can except put it in second gear. You're the one who's got to engage that clutch, put it in second gear, and then once you're in second gear, then what's God going to do? He's going to ask you to put it in third gear. So in my life, I want to be consistently moving forward, and I want to be mindful that if I'm not, then I'm going backwards, and I don't want to deny that. How many going backward? No, 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 no. I want to ask that question, but I don't want to ask that question. I mean, I don't want you to respond, but I want you to answer it in your mind. And before you say, no, I'm not going backwards, please understand, if you're not going forwards, you are going backwards. I don't say that to be confrontational. I say that to help you find yourself. I say that. How in the world are you supposed to... How in the world are you supposed to rescue someone unless you know where they are? You know, somebody's floating in the middle of the ocean. You know what they want? They want to know, where are they? Hello? We were driving up to the mountains, last week, and it was very, very late at night. True story. Very, very late at night. And we're on, the two lanes are going up, and we're going up, and it was so freaky because I see this person right in the middle of the road, and they were waving like this. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is 2 in the morning, and I'm thinking on mountains, And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that person is going to get ran over. I mean, it was crazy. So my wife, you know, called the police, and the police wanted to know, it's so funny, police wanted to know, what is the, it's like there's these posts, and it'll say 2008, 2009, 2000, you know what I mean? Well, we're, I was like, officer, excuse me, you know what I mean? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to pull over and find, oh, here's where we are. I said, listen, the best I can do is to tell you, you know what? We're about 5 miles from the bottom of the mountain. But somebody better get up here quick and start looking for this person, because I don't want this person being killed. And I need some help up here. But what did they want to know? They wanted to know, what's my coordinates? Where am I? You know what I mean? They wanted to, and I mean, that's a fine, that's a good question. It really is. I wasn't going to pull over the road and try to figure it out for them, except to say, you know, why? Because it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? I don't want to pull over and, I'm over here. Right? Right? So I said that to ask you how many going backwards, not to, or how many not moving forward, to that you would really ask, just recognize that, you know what, you might not, all of us are doing something. See, that was my point. All of us are doing something. All of us are even moving forward or moving backwards. If you're moving forwards, you need to know you're moving forwards, and you need to keep on moving forward. If you're moving backwards, if you think you're in neutral, you're moving backwards, and you need to locate yourself. Is this making sense to anybody? All right. Are you still glad you came? All right. So we're talking about changing, but changing that lasts. And I want to give you some just real tips that will help you. How many need some help today? How many came for some help today? That'll help you to grow. I mean, want to grow today. And Nehemiah gets us some great help in this matter. Number one, you want to grow, you want to change, you want to continue to move forward, you have to be part of a team. Say, I have to be part of the team. Now, I might sound like repetitive on this, but this is a major, 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 major problem in the body of Christ in 2017. Because there's a false doctrine out there that says, no, I'm just connected to God. Me and God. You know, I mean, Pastor, you believe in the the priesthood of all believers. You know what the priesthood of all believers? Priesthood of all believers is the concept that Martin Luther came up with, and he questioned the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church said, in order for your sins to be forgiven, you have to go to a priest, and the priest has to go before God, and you know what, kind of he's like, you know, your connection to God, and you can't get to God without a priest to go before God and petition that your sins would be removed. How many of this is crazy false doctrine? One, Jesus Christ died for all your sins. And two, you can go to God directly. Is that not right? And what they did is they manipulated the whole thing, and then they get before the priest. You know what? How many remember, you know what? How many remember going before the priest and having to say, you know what? You know, 4 Our Fathers and 8 Hail Marys. Is it Hail Mary? I'm thinking I'm being disrespectful. That's some football term or something. I'm sorry. Okay, so Hail Marys. So all I'm saying is, you know where that came from? That came from, you know what? What they used to do is go up there and say, hey, you've done that? Well, that's super bad. You know what? That's a $500 offense. So you give me $500 and I'll go to God and we'll hook you up. Oh, no. Okay, that was only a $200 fine. Let me tell you something. This stuff really happened. This stuff really happened. And they also did stuff where they said, okay, you know that purgatory stuff that is not in your Bible? Well, where did that come? That came from some pope saying, hey, this is what I think. And when the pope said, this is what I think, they said that equals, the pope's words are equal to what God says. I'm just telling you what they believe. And so, how many know this is absolutely corrupt? And so, anyway, they stopped doing the money thing, but it still turned into, you got to do something. And so you got to say some Our Fathers and Hail Marys and you know what, whatever. And you know what, that your sins will, hey, how many know it's the blood of Jesus that washes away your sins? Is that not right? But listen to me very carefully. We get out of one side of the ditch to jump up over on the highway and get on the other side of the ditch. What's the other side of the ditch? The other side of the ditch is saying, I don't need nobody. It's just me and God. See, the truth is, the priesthood of you being being able to go to God direct, that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But to turn that and to jump on over on this other side and think that you don't have to find a home church, that you don't need a shepherd, that you don't need accountability. See, can I tell you what really hinders people from, one of the biggest areas that hinders people from coming into Christianity? Here's what it is. When you come into Christianity, Jesus says, now you have to follow me. See, God has no problem saying, I'm in charge and I will command you what to do. Well, how many know? I don't know if I want to sign up for that game. Right? How many know that can cause a lot of people? Here's what I always say, just so you know, but God knows he's smarter than you. He knows more than you. He loves you. He's got his best for you. And so he can guide you. But it still doesn't change the fact that God wants to tell you what to do. That when you come into Christianity, real Christianity says, God says, I tell you what to do, and you do it. Amen to that. Because he knows more than us. But watch this. But one of the things that God says is, you got to be part of a team. And one of the reasons why people don't want to be part of a team is because to be part of a team, there's accountability. How many, I'm just asking, how many, be honest, how many of you has Tamara and I come up to you and kind of, you know what, say, hey, you've been coming to this church for a while. You got to do something. Raise your hand if you were blessed to have that conversation with me or Tamara. Raise your, really, only one? Okay. Here's my point. My point is, I've shared with a lot of people, hey, you got to get involved. You got to do something. You can't just come here and come. I mean, you can for a little while, but at some point in time, you got to understand what church is about. Church is about a community where we're building the kingdom of God, and it's turned into a place where we just want to come and be preached to and be encouraged and enjoy worship, but I don't come to do something. You know, that's a whole do something. You know what I mean? That's a whole different thing. Well, one of the reasons why you need a pastor is because there's accountability. Amen. You've got to be part of a team. The reason why Nehemiah was able to accomplish what he was able to accomplish is because, you know what, he got a team together. You know what, we know one can send 1,000 flight, but two can send 10,000 flight. And a threefold cord, you know what, is not easily broken. And we heard Sunday, if you came to the first service, you know what, Russell prophesying, saying, and what about three? And what about four? And what about five? And what about six? See, what can we accomplish if we come together? And listen to me, it's not just what we can accomplish. How can you feel if now you're part of a team versus just doing your own thing? I love what John Maxwell said. He said, if I can do the vision that God has called me to by myself, my vision is too small. There's got to be an accountability that we come and we learn together. Now, go to Nehemiah up here on the screen. Nehemiah chapter 9, and we'll start with verse 32. Nehemiah chapter 9, starting with verse 32. Look what it says. Now, therefore, our God, a great and mighty and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seen small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princesses, our priests and our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people, from the days of the king of Syria until this day. However, if you just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor our priests nor our priests nor our fathers have kept your law, nor indeed your commandments and your testaments with which you testified against them, for they have not served you in their kingdom or in the many good things that you have given them, or in the large and the rich lands which you have set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Where we are servants today, and the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, where you are servants in it, and it yields much increase to the kings. You have set us over us. You have set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominated over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. Look at this, verse 38. And because of this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, watch this, our Levites and our priests seal it. Here's what they're saying. We're jacked up, and we've been jacked up because of our behavior. But we're making a change today. Listen, and it's not just a few of us. We are coming. Watch this. Watch this. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. The people in charge are saying, listen, all the leaders are coming together, and they're saying, we're going to be about your covenant from now on. And later on, what they had is they had everybody write and say, come and write on it and make this signature on it and say, this is all of us. Here's my point, guys. We have to work as a team. And this thought, that is so permeates our society to say, no, I'm an individual. I do what I want, when I want, how I want. Listen to me. Has come into the church. We are so, I'm just being honest, we have become so dysfunctional in the army that could be mighty. But because we have become so, and listen, and being an individual is a great strength. But can I tell you what's not preached in America enough? Is honoring leadership and coming in line and understanding, listen, the protection that takes place as you put yourself under the person that God has called you to be under, and you come with a cooperative spirit to say, you know what? I am here to help this movement, this church move forward. When God called me to the church that Pastor Bradford was at, and I knew God had called me there, I wasn't called to be on the worship team. I wasn't called to preach. I wasn't called to the youth. Listen to me. I wasn't, even though God graced me and it was awesome, and I believe that God gave me favor, but I don't even believe specifically, really, that I was called to children's ministry. And I was children's pastor at that church. What God called me to is to be a servant to Pastor Bradford and Pastor Bradford's wife. That's what God called me to do. Listen to me. And when Pastor Bradford asked me to be in charge of the Christian Education Department, I didn't look at him and go, oh, you know, I'm not anointed to do that. I love what Dr. Radke says. He said, you know what? I can do all things, but I can't do the children's work. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, but I don't want to be on the worship team. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, but I can't. And listen to me. And I'm just telling you, there's a different mentality. Listen to me very carefully. There's a different mentality when you come up and say, Pastor, how can I serve? And I'm able to say, I've got a shortage over here. I really need your help over here. Oh, but I can't do that. Well, I'm just saying, is it I can't do that? Or is it I won't do that? Or is it I don't want to do that? See, I'm a Pastor. Pastor Bradford didn't understand. I was called to that church, but I was called. I don't know why he didn't understand. I mean, I should have got him some of my teaching tapes. You know what I mean? Pastor, don't you understand? You know what? The calling on my life is to minister the word of God. You see how I said that? God? Even that's anointing, Pastor. No, Pastor, I'm called to sit here and do nothing. No, you're not. You've just picked that up from the world. That's a spirit. It's a spirit of selfishness. And that spirit should not be taking place in the body of Christ. I'm just telling you, it should not. I'm just telling you, it shouldn't. You're called to sit and to serve. We're all called to sit and serve. We all need to be part of a team. And the question is, you know what? Do you really want to change? Because if you really want to change, get a part of a team. You know, probably the one of the best things to do is to do something you don't want to do. Wow, this is getting quiet in this church. Amen. See, I'm just asking, could it be that the reason why you're asked to do something, you know what? Could it be that God is working? Guys, can you imagine an army? You know what I mean? Ooh, you know what? Let's train. We're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, Lieutenant, man, I'm 6. Man, that's a little early, you know. Let me tell you how I roll, you know what I mean? I usually roll out of bed about 10:30, you know what? I always like to get my Pop-Tarts, you know what? I like the cinnamon ones. Oh, excuse me. And it would say, and what kind of army exists? What kind of army exists that I tell you what, they're dysfunctional, they won't function, nothing happens. But we have, and let me tell you who, a lot of times, whose fault it is. It's the pastor's fault. Amen. I remember when I was children's pastor, and I love the youth pastor, because the youth pastor was very adamant in what he believed, and he was very passionate about the ministry. And I would run things by him because he had more experience than I had. And we were doing this picnic, and I was very excited about the flyer that I had designed, but I wanted to run it, you know what, by my friend. And I gave it to him, and I said, hey, brother, what do you think about this? You know what? What do you think about this flyer? And I gave him that flyer, and he took it from my hand, and he looked at it, and he said, I loved it, because he was so honest. He looked at it and said, is this event important? I'm like, yeah, it's really important. And he said, well, why don't you put it on a good cardstock? Because as soon as somebody feels this paper that you're going to print this up on, that you handed me, as soon as they feel it, they're going to go, oh, this ain't very important. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. I'm about to say something, and you need to understand this. You know what? A lot of times what people are doing is they're looking at our face, and they're looking at leadership. And they come to me and say, Pastor, you don't understand. I have to work this day. And pastors are so quick to go, oh, I understand. But what I found, Jesus doesn't talk like that. I'm just saying, Jesus doesn't talk like that. And there's some disciples who come up to him and they tell Jesus how it's going to be. And listen to the example. And I can give you many examples of this. And they come to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, you know what? We're going to serve you. But first, you know what? We need to bury my father. And Jesus looks at them and says, let me tell you what. What I'm doing is more important than what you're doing. So get some other family members to bury your dad. But you ought to come with me now. Hello? And we put jobs. And I'll tell you the main things we put before God. We put jobs before God, which is actually money. You ask most people, you know what? You know, the love of money is the root of all. You, oh, I'm not greedy. I don't love money. But the main thing, we put jobs in front of people, in front of God. And we put people in front of God, mainly our family members. And God says, I'm telling you what, you can do whatever you want. And I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking, you know, leadership does this. You know, I love what that youth pastor used to tell his youth. He He's to say, you know what, because he'd recognize they're freshmen, they don't have a job, and they're all totally involved in the youth. Then they're a sophomore, they're totally involved in the youth. Then they're a junior, and they get a car, they're able to drive, and they get a job. And next thing you know, they're not very involved in the youth. And he used to teach his youth group. He said, listen, it's okay that you can get a job, but do this. When you interview, tell them, I need Sunday and I need Wednesday off. And he said this, and he said, if they tell you no, you can't do that. How many know a lot of people tell you no? Let me tell you what. But why? Because they're about them. They got to make a schedule, and they, first day, you're interviewing, you're like, I can't work on Sunday, can't work on Wednesday, and they're quick to tell you, well, let me tell you what, if you want this job, because let me tell you, I got five other people who want this job, and they're telling me I can work any day I want. You think God can't get you a job? I'm asking. See, and this is where the rubber meets the road, folks. Work on Thursday. Work on Monday. Work on Saturday. You know what? But make a commitment to the things of God. You think God won't honor that? You think God can't work around that guy and get you a better job? See, who do we think is providing for us? Who do we really think is going to provide for us? Because a talk is cheap. But when we say, no, I'm committed to the things of God. And what am I saying? I'm saying a team captain, a pastor, can tell you stuff like that. And you need to hear that. You need to come to this place, and you need to hear what God has to say to you. You need to recognize God is speaking to you tonight. And maybe you need to make some adjustments. And the tendency that we have in our generation is to say, man, I can go to church down the street and they're just happy to see me. You know what I mean? They don't get on my case for coming. Listen. Listen, absolutely you can. The Bible says in the end days, people are going to come back and they're going to tickle your ears. They're going to tell you whatever you want. Oh, praise God. I heard T.D. Jakes say this week. I just thought, you know what? Praise God for it. You know what he said? He said some lady came up to him and he said this. She said, you know what? I used to come and I used to love hearing you. I used to dance. I used to clap. I used to say amen. I love your services. But you know what? You changed the service and you made it from 11 o'clock. Now I got to come at 9 o'clock. I love what he said. He said, you know what? You don't really want the things of God. You're not really hungry for the things of God. Hello, somebody? No. I love God when everything's convenient. When, you know what? I mean, to make sure you have pastries back there. Make sure you have tea back there. As a matter of fact, I'm a little upset because I've come 3 Sundays in a row and there isn't sweet tea. You know what? I don't like that peach tea. I like the sweet tea. You know what I mean? So can we get on it, Pastor? Because, you know what, I don't know who you have in charge of that, but it's irritating me a little bit. You know, because I come, and that's one of the things I like here. And I love his integrity. He said, you know what, listen, I'm going to do the best job I can, but let me tell you what, I'm not going to cater to that kind of mentality. He said, you know what I see? I see all these people, and they're coming, and they're parking far, and they're walking all this way, you know what, into, you know, Cowboy Stadium to, you know what, and they're paying all this money. You know what? They'll pay $8 for a hot dog and, you know, $33 for a you know, a little thing of beer, you know what? And they're doing all this stuff, and they're all happy to, you know, they come in with their, you know what, wavy go, you know what? And he said, you know what, they're doing all that. And he said to her, you're not hungry for the things of God. You know what? Yeah, man, I'm just going to be by myself. You know, I'm just going to watch. You know what? I'll just watch somebody on TV. Because, you know, they won't say anything to me. That's exactly what I'm saying. You need somebody to say something to you. Amen. How many know you need somebody to say something to you? You know what? How many know you need somebody to say something to you? You know, I thought when I needed to hear T.D. Jakes say that to me. He's not talking to me. He's talking to me as a leader to say that to you. His integrity, to look at her in the face and say, hey, let me tell you the problem. The problem isn't that I changed the service. The problem is you ain't hungry for God. That's the problem. Amen. How many of you learning something today? I don't want to be part of a team. I know that's the problem. Because if you have somebody part of the team, then you're going to have somebody who's going to hold you accountable. I don't want to be accountable. I want to come in whenever I want to come in. I want to come in late if I want to come in. I want to not serve if I want to come in. I want to complain if I want. I want to do, you know what? I just don't tell me anything. Well, you come to the wrong church. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you what, that spirit, let me tell you who it'll hurt most. You can run, but let me tell you what, that is an evil spirit. The Bible says that the man who isolates himself, he rages against wisdom. That's what the Bible says. You're raging against wisdom. You need somebody who can say something to you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you can receive it. Number one, you need to be part of a team. Quickly, number two, you need to take responsibility for your actions. You know what these people did? These people came, and not only the priests, and not only the Levites, and not only all the leadership signed it, but they made every single one of them sign it. And here's what they said. This is so awesome. Here's what they said. They said, if we don't do it, we are going to be accursed. They had a study in World War II, and this one company who packed the parachutes, you know what? They found out they had a 95% success rate in packing the parachutes, which was a high rate of success. Well, how many know if you got a 95% and you got 100 of guys, then five of them are going down even before they start. And the person in charge said, here's what we're going to do to improve our rate. See, 95% isn't good enough, guys. We have to hold ourselves accountable. We have to take responsibility for our actions. You know what this guy did? He said, okay, from now on, everybody who packs these parachutes are going to be part of the testing team. And they went from 95% to 100% real quick. True story. True story. From 95%. How many know 95% in school is good, but a parachute team, how many know it's not okay? See, a lot of times we just cut ourselves way too much slack. The Bible says, give no room to the devil. And we think, oh, that's okay, and that's all right. And after all, you know what? I'm not going to go to hell for that. And what we need to do is we need to put ourselves to be accountable, to say, no, this is not okay. As far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to start to hold myself accountable to read the Bible every day. I'm going to get with somebody. I'm going to have accountability partner. And I'm going to say, hey, this is okay. Hey, it's not okay for me to be looking at women with short dresses and looking at women who are not dressed appropriately. Yeah, they're not, but it's not my fault. They're not dressed appropriately. Well, you can't control what they wear, but you can't control what you look at. Yeah, I'm going to have my accountability partner. You know, it's going to be the guy who the UPS driver. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell him every time I blow it. What kind of accountability is that? I'm going to have the ice cream man. I'm going to tell him. The ice cream man, I'm going to tell him. No, don't make it easy for yourself. Have the accountability partner be your wife. Amen? How about that for accountability partner? you know what? You'll become part of the change that happened in the parachute people. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something tonight? Yes. Number one, you got to be part of the team. Number two, you got to be, you know what, held accountable. You have a willingness. No, I just, you know what, I just judge everything myself. Oh, great. Give yourself an A. Right? Right? The problem is, you know what? You can't change until you know the truth. The first thing they do in AA is get you to identify you got a problem. That's not bad. That's good. Because as soon as you know you have a problem, then you can start solving the problem. Tell me what two words that is. It's solving and what? And solution. Solving. You can start solving that problem. I mean, need to solve a problem today. Come on, be honest. I've already told you that is a sign of high intelligence. Somebody say amen to that. I'm like, okay, Pastor, okay. Amen. Amen. You're gracious to me. And finally, we need to keep first things first. Look at verse chapter 10. Look at verse 29. Look at verse 29. These joined with their brethren. If you look at verses 2 through 27, there's all these people writing down, I commit to this. Look at verse 29. These joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe to do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his ordinances and his statutes. You know what I believe? I believe that there's one of the things that I pray and I just sense is that there is too much a love with the world. I know it in my life that I started praying because the Holy Spirit started showing me, you just are too friendly with the world. There's too much of a relationship. Too much of a friendship, too much of a, you're just too comfortable. I love a movie, and it was this Christian man, and he got in a, I don't know if you've seen this movie, but he gets in this time machine, and he comes forward, and the church group, he goes to church, and they invite him, he's a single, they invite him to the singles ministry, they're going to this movie, he sits down in this movie, and in the movie, they say some, you know what, some cuss words. And he stands up in the middle of the theater and he says, blasphemy! This is blasphemous! We should not be watching this blasphemy! It's funny, isn't it? And it's funny because we've been in that movie theater. We messed up. Tamara and I messed up, and we had a film one time. We watched it on TBN. On TBN, they must have edited all the junk. Matter of fact, I was like, woo, this is, it was a cool movie, this baseball player and this coach, and he revived this team, and it was this great, great, great movie when I saw it on TBN. But then we purchased it at the Christian bookstore. I'm not blaming them. We just, you know what I mean, picked it up. I'm like, oh, and I'm in front of you guys. This is a great movie. You guys got to come to movie night. It'll encourage you and yada, yada, yada. And then we played it, and you guys were watching it. And the coach came up to the kid and said, you know what? You need to get your out of here and yada, yada, yada. And, yada, yada, yada. And Tamara and I are like, we're in these lounge chairs just sinking farther and farther. It's like, oh, my goodness. True story. This is a true story. And we're just thinking, oh, this is awful. This is awful. And then I'm thinking, because this is like the first 10 minutes of the movie, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't. I'm looking at my wife thinking, where did you get this movie? She looks at me like, you're the one who said it was a good movie. Anyway, we're sinking down in the chairs, and I'm just thinking, okay, praise God. God, you know what, please let that be the only, just one time. And then throughout the movie, I think he's, you know, said just crazy stuff four times, you know what I mean? And listen, if this is you, I don't even know who said it to me after. But after the presentation, my wife got up there and said, hey, we just want to apologize for the, how did she say it, for the racy language. I had so many people come up to me and say, I didn't hear nothing. I love that movie, Pastor. I thought that was, that was a good movie. Yeah. All I'm saying is that in my life, God really has spoken to me and just said, you know, I mean, just in the last 5 years, but repeatedly said, Drew, you're just way too comfortable with the world. You're way too comfortable with the world. And a lot of times these you know what, we'll watch stuff and, you know what, this person is living with that person. And you know what, all this stuff and all the homosexual stuff going on now and the heterosexual, you know what, you know, nobody's married and nobody goes to church and it's just, ha-ha, this is funny. And we've just gotten too far away from the principles of God. Paul says, listen to me, church. Listen to me, because I need to really make this distinction. Paul says, when I told you about this perversion, I wasn't talking about out there. I heard one pastor, and I love what he said. He said, don't get on the world for sinning. That's what they do. And they do a good job at it. Don't get on them. Paul says, I'm not talking about, you know what, the world. What I'm talking about is this kind of crazy stuff is taking place in the church. And you guys are like, hey, dude, what's going on? You know, you're shacking up, but you know what? It's cool. And God is like, Paul's like, what are you doing? You're your brother's keeper. Sin will cause harm. It's not okay to just go out and drink. Oh, no. I just have one beer. Oh, really? Really? How many of all the Christians I talk to only have one beer? Can we get real with somebody? True story. You know what? A guy coming to church, at this church, his girlfriend is in charge of prayer. This is, wait, oh, I don't know who that is. You don't know who that is because you weren't even here. Oh. I don't know who that is. You do not know who this is. You didn't even come to the church then. She was in charge of prayer. I've got a brother who is baby Christian. He drives by their house, the mom's house. The guy's living with the mom. He moves his girlfriend in to the house. The other brother, baby Christian in Christ, goes by at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he sees her car there. And guess who he calls? He says, Pastor Drew, I just don't understand why, you know what, what's-her-name's car is in front of what's-his-name's house at 4 o'clock in the morning. So guess what I get to do? I get to talk to what's-her-name and what's-his-name. And I say, hey, what's up? What's going on? Because I don't, and the true story, this is what they tell me. They say, well, let me tell you what's going on. She moved in to my mom's house. Oh, she moved into your mom's house. Where do you live? I live with my mom. Did you catch that? Why didn't you say she moved into my house? No, because my mom owns the house. Oh, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Small house in Pico Rivera, and this is what he says. No, you don't understand, Pastor. You know what? She has a room on the other side of the house. I'm like, really? Really? I said, listen, you know what, because I'm just smart. I said, listen, I will assume that nothing's going on. But even if nothing's going on, let me tell you what is going on. That young believer just drove by your house at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's tripping on that. So you can find another place to live, and I'll help you find it. Matter of fact, you can, I had some suggestions where she could move into, immediate suggestions, that I was going to bend over backwards to make it happen. Why? Because I care about these people. You don't want to then her tell him, get out of here. They walk to their car, you know what, and you know what, she straightened him out, told them what they were going to do, came in the office and said, you know what, Pastor, we're leaving this church because we didn't do nothing wrong. And you're accusing us, and oh, my gosh. Shh. So can I tell you what? God's not messing around. And the last things, we've got to put first things first. We've got to get our house in order. We've got to recognize the blessings of God. God's not trying to correct you because he doesn't love you. He's trying to correct you because he does love you. That his ways are higher than our ways. And we're trying to play and jive him. And no, get God first. Put him first place in your life. Stop messing around. God's speaking to somebody. You're running out of time, guys. Stop playing around with the things of God. Stop thinking you have one foot in and one foot out. And you're no. You think you have one foot in, one foot out. You're just way too over here. You got both foots. The only one who's deceived is you. You know what we just read in our daily Bible reading? You know what we just read? That everything, you're all naked before God. Isn't that what we read in Hebrews somewhere? We're all naked before God. You're like, ooh, man, I told you this. I think so. Ooh, I'm going to smoke a joint back here. Ooh, nobody's going to see me. You know what? I'm going to gossip behind your back. You ain't gossip behind my back. I'm going to talk about Mickey behind her back. You ain't talking to Mickey behind her back. Her father is watching you. There's nothing done in secret. He sees it all. So just come to him and say, God, I repent of it all. I repent of all my bad attitudes and my tripping out and thinking this person's like that and that person's like that and judging everybody. I remember in high school, we used to sit there in the quad and just gossip about everybody. You know, ooh, they'd walk by. It's like, hi, ooh, look at, they're so stupid. Well, and, you know, just a whole lunchtime. You know, God, help our foolishness. Actually, I didn't do it, but my friends did it. You think I'm joking? I'm not. The problem is, it was part of it because I didn't say nothing. I laughed at it all. I don't gossip. I just listen to gossip. Oh, you're gossip, amen. Holy Spirit told me one time, you know what? One of the biggest gossipers in the church. And I remember seeing them, you know what, out there with another person, you know what? And the Holy Spirit said, that's your biggest gossip in the church. And he came in one time and he said, Pastor, you need to understand, everybody in this church is talking. And the Holy Spirit said, everybody in the church talks to him because he listens to it all. How many know the Holy Spirit will reveal stuff? Hello? Amen. All right. Praise God. I'm done. Amen. I'm done. How many still glad you came? Let me tell you why you're still glad you came. You're still glad you came because you're tough, because you have integrity. You know what? If you didn't, you'd already be at another church. Amen. You'd already be at home watching I Love Lucy. But we need to hear it and hear it, not just say, amen, that was good. Pastor, man, he let us have it. No, we need to say, God, help me to change. Say that with me. God, help me to change. Let's stand up to our feet and let's repent. Let's stand up to our feet. Let's put our head over our hands. You know what? Let's say, God, help me to change. Help me. If there was something that was said tonight that I need to hear, help me to change it immediately. Help me to see my blind spots. And then help me to do something about it. Help me to hate the world like you hate the world. Hate the sin of the world. Help me to love the world, the people of the world, like you love them. In Jesus' name.